Been a good service already, amen? All right. It's always good when we can come together and be part of baptisms and sing to the Lord and worship Him and praise Him and do all that we need to do. It is good. And I want to just remind you all that we have come to the conclusion of, we don't stop praying, but we come to that conclusion where we had, we've had our 3 days of fasting. We've done that. We've done our 20 days of prayer, which was finished up on Friday, knowing that some of those things that we prayed for, we had the list on your paper, but one of those was that we asked God to give us 16 baptisms for this year, and so we got two. It's amazing, the Lord, what He does. And also, we prayed that God would bring us a director for the Men's Life House. I want to ask Carl to go ahead and stand. He's here today. I want to introduce him. So Carl is handing off probably a grandchild there to his wife, Tina. So that's Carl. All right. So I've known Carl a while. Carl's pastored a couple of churches in the past that I've known a part of, and I've known him for quite a while. And God laid him on my heart, and God opened up his heart and connected. So praise God for that. And so we prayed for many things. And some of these things I think we'll see throughout the rest of this year. That God will answer. He's already answering already. It's amazing what you do, what happens when you let God be God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Is that okay? When we let God be God? Yes. Yes. So I'm pretty excited about what God is doing. But I know I got to live a life just like you do. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 42 today. I want to share some things with you that sometimes we get to a place where we want to talk to God about some things. We want to ask His opinion on something. We want Him to make we want Him to lay out a plan, but sometimes we've already got something in our head already, and we're just asking God to jump on our agenda. Now, come on, I know I have done that so many times, and I'm getting older. As I get older, I still catch myself doing that. God, jump on my bandwagon, but I really need to jump on His bandwagon. Yes. God's people are in a mess right now. And I read God's word. I read through the Old Testament, see the awesome parts of God moving. And it always seems that when God is moving, things happen. People choose God's way. But when they don't, things just start falling apart. What we have here is we have some people that got together, this remnant, this people that got together. They're gonna ask the prophet Jeremiah to go to speak to God. We're going to read it here in verse 5 of chapter 42. And they said to Jeremiah, "As for every word the Lord your God sends you, tell us if we don't act accordingly. May the Lord be true and faithful witness against us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us. We will certainly obey the voice of the Lord our God." Isn't that something that we've said so many times? I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to read the word, and I'm going to obey. That's what they wanted to do. They send out the prophet. He comes back 10 days later, and he gives out what God has called, how God has answered it. And here's the part. Sometimes we just don't like how God answers. Sometimes we just don't like how God answers. But the people said, whatever the Lord wants, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And so the prophet comes back and he speaks to the people. And he says this in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. "If you will indeed stay in the land, then I will rebuild and not demolish you. And I will plant and not uproot you, because I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought on you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him. This is the Lord's declaration, because I am with you to save you and deliver you from him. I will grant you compassion, and he will," that being the king, "will have compassion on you and allow you to return to your home soil." So the people are in a mess. But the people is asking God, what do you want us to do? They got it in their mind that they kind of want to edge out. And God knows that. But God lays some things out here in the beginning. He says, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to stay in the land. That's it. Stay in the land. Stay put. Stay put. But boy, when we just like to move, don't we? Stay put. And what did God say he would do if they stayed put? He said there, he said, I will rebuild you. Now, how many of times have we went to the Lord and we said, Lord, rebuild me. Remake me. Give me a refresh. Renew me. He says, I will rebuild you. I'm not going to demolish you. That's another thing. I'm not going to demolish you. He says, I'm going to plant you and not uproot you. Here's the ones I like. He says, I'm with you. You see, what God is telling, and we're going to go through the rest of these, but here it is. God is telling him, trust me. It's funny how we will trust God with our heart and soul and our salvation, but we don't trust him with our choices in life. How we will have a choice that stands in front of us, and we don't know whether to go to the right or the left, but we already kind of got our mind made up, but we want to ask God's stamp of approval on it, and if he chooses our way, we just more like, yes. But if he don't, many times we still want to rule that way. And so God is saying, listen, if you stay where you're at, I'm going to do these things for you. And he says, I am with you. I'm going to be with you. Now, when I know this, and when God is with me, I'm much stronger than when he's not. He says, I'm with you. But what did he say also? He says, to save you. I'm going to save you and to deliver you. There's a lot of promises that God is saying because there's a part in here that says, so declares the Lord, the Lord's declaration. That means this is solid stuff. So God says, here it is. I'm with you to save you, to deliver you. I'm going to give you compassion. Compassion. And compassion is huge. And he says, and also the king of Babylon, I will have him give you compassion. You know, the Lord can soften and harden hearts. What he was saying, I'm going to soften the king's heart to give you compassion if you stay. And you also, you're going to return to your own soil. You're going to get your place back. But you got to stand still. You have to stand still. That's all you have to do. You know what that is? You know what that's called? Obedience. How many of y'all had a child that just never wanted to go by the rules? Yeah. It doesn't mean you don't love them less. But boy, did they just kind of get you sometimes. They just always wanted to push it to the limit. Y'all got names flying through. You got that name, that face. But you still loved them, right? Let me remind you, God still loves you. Even when you just rebelling, he still loves you. But here it is, God's people. Just always messing up. Here they are, messing up. But God gives them a way out. You know, God gives you a way out too. God gives you a lane and a path where you can get out of the mess that you're in. God is always offering that opportunity, but you got to do one thing. You got to be obedient, which means do it his way. There's a right way and there's a wrong way in the world sense. But once we become believers, it's different. It's either God's way or it's not God's way. Because sometimes the right way in the world's eyes is not right in God's eyes. So it's not about doing rights and wrongs the ways of the world, even though we're supposed to live by the laws of the land. That's biblical. But we are supposed to do it God's way, not to go against his way. Amen? So we're supposed to follow. So the people, what God is telling them is, trust me. God's saying, trust me. But now if you don't choose this road and you want to go do your own thing, God's got something to say about that. I'm going to read this out of verses 13. But if you say, we will not stay in the land so as not to obey the voice of the Lord your God, When you notice right there, that's going to cause trouble. You know, trouble's coming. And if you say, no, instead we'll go to the land of Egypt where we will not see. Now, you notice they didn't say Egypt prior. If you read, they didn't say Egypt at all, but God already knew what was in their hearts. God already knows the reason for you doing what is already in your heart. So he says, now, if you go back to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war and hear the sound of the ram's horn and hunger for food, and we'll live there. So basically, we're going to get out of all the trouble that we actually are in. We're going to run away from God, and we're going to get out of trouble. Let me tell you, if you're in trouble and you run away from God, you're just going to get into more trouble. It's like being a kid with your parents. You know, you know where I'm going, right? You run away, it's more trouble, right? Then he says, then hear the word of the Lord, the remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of the hosts of God of Israel says. If you are firmly resolved to go to Egypt, if you go to Egypt and live for a while, then the sword you fear will overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine you are worried about will follow on your heels there to Egypt. And you will die there. All who resolve to go to Egypt to live there for a while will die by sword, famine, and plague. They will have no one escape. No one will escape or survive for this disaster I will bring on them. So God's putting the punishment in the disaster. God's already calling it out. If you go, disaster is going to be there. It's going to follow. You see, here's what it is. We know this. You all know the Bible just a little bit. Know this. All the way back in the book of Exodus, we know that the people wanted to stay in Egypt. Even when God was doing miracles in that generation, so many miracles, more miracles than any generation has ever seen God do, they still kept bucking God and saying, we should go back to Egypt. This is still all the way up to this time in Jeremiah, and even in still today. Some of us know who God is. We have that salvation, and we still want to go back to Egypt. You know what Egypt is, right? False gods, false ways, evil, sin. All the things that are against God are in Egypt. And we're drawn there. Why? Because the dark one pulls us, tempts us. But we are stronger than that because we have the Holy Spirit, but we get weak and we want to go by our flesh. And those desires. God continues on. He says a little bit there in verse 18. He says, so will my fury pour out on you if you go to Egypt. It keeps going back to Egypt. You will become an object of cursing, scorn, and some other things. And then it says, don't go to Egypt. He says, don't go to Egypt. Look at me now. Some of you know that there's a place that you should not ever go back to. But in your mind, you get that you hear the ring of the doorbell. You hear a little bit of an invitation wanting you to come back over and visit because now you have Christ and now you're stronger and you can go back over there and it's trying to fool you. The dark side is trying to fool you, telling you you can go back to those old same places and those old faces and think you're going to do all that you can do. And I'm telling you, if you are not strong in the Lord, you're not going to make it. And you only go back there because God tells you to go back there. And if you go back, you're going to be a witness. So many people want to go back and be a witness in their own time. Listen, you don't do it until God tells you to do it. You got to get cleaned up more. You got to work on some things. You got to get a stronger foundation in Christ, not in yourself. Not because, oh, I've done, I'm through this. I've been done with it for 2 years or 3 years. You're not as strong as you think you are. You don't go back to places that have torn your life apart and where sin was lived just victoriously in your life. Every one of us have an Egypt. If you know yourself, every one of us have an Egypt. And I'm telling you, sometimes it can look like it's all brand new and nice and shiny and beautiful. But it's only on the outside. Satan has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy who you are. Take everything you've got. There's no feelings there. And God keeps telling the people, don't go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. So the plan has been laid out. God has given an awesome path and says, choose my way. If you stay, I'm going to rebuild you. I'm going to keep you here. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to show compassion on you. And I'm going to have those who rule over you is going to give you compassion. And I'm going to give it all back. I'm going to give the land back to you. One time you're going to come back and you're going to get it all back. But if you choose this other way and you go back to Egypt, you're going to die. You know, today people go back to Egypt and they do physically die. Many. I did doing a Bible study in New Haven a few years back. An individual had told me, pulled me off to the side and just said, you know, Jimmy, I spent more time in prison than I have outside of prison. I think I want to go back there. Really? You see, some people just love Egypt. Never know what true freedom really is in Christ. Because when you go back to Egypt, what were the people, what were the Hebrews in Egypt? They were slaves. And when you go back to Egypt, your Egypt, you become in bondage and you become a slave to whatever it is in Egypt. That is your Egypt. And let me tell you, it's all the things that Satan has and he says are good for you. And sometimes, look at me, sometimes it's a guy or a girl. I've seen so many people fail because of a guy or a girl. They can be in Egypt too. You got to cut the string. You got to cut the string. Don't go back to Egypt. He says, don't. God keeps saying, don't go back to Egypt. Don't go there. So what did they do? God lays out a plan for good stuff and blessing. And he said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to save you. Or you can do this thing and do it all on your own and you're going to die. Because this is what happens. When we try to do things on our own, we fail miserably. So it says in chapter 43, Jeremiah speaks to the leaders in verse 4. It says, so Jonathan and all the commanders of the armies did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. They chose wrong. They chose poorly. They chose poorly. And this is what I know. Sometimes I choose poorly. I don't like it. I don't know why, but sometimes I choose poorly. And I bet to say that sometimes you choose poorly as well. I hope that you catch it quickly, that the Holy Spirit convicts you quickly that you are heading in the wrong direction, and that you turn around quickly and you head back to the safety net in the arms of God. But in that, you have to be obedient. Once we step out and we start heading toward Egypt, like these individuals will, a whole bunch of people are going to die. A whole bunch of people. How many of y'all have family members in Egypt today? A lot of us. Let me just remind you of this. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. One of my go-to scriptures is in Proverbs. It tells us kind of how to live life. Many of you are going to know it. It's in Proverbs 3. But it's how to figure life out. It's how to figure out how to make decisions and how to make choices. Because sometimes, honestly, sometimes the choice is really hard. Amen? Sometimes the choice is really hard. And sometimes God does say, stand still. But sometimes God says, move. This is why God does things in so many different ways, so that we would be obedient to Him and pay attention and not to have selective hearing, but to hear the whole Word of God. Some of us have selective hearing, right? Yeah. Thank you for being honest, Brian. But in Proverbs chapter 3, as you turn there, I always have this highlighted in all my Bibles. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. If I give Jesus my heart, right, I need to trust him with my heart. Not just give him myself, but to trust him. Isn't that what this whole thing was about? Trust me, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart, everything that you are. That's everything you are. And do not rely on your own understanding. Because we can con ourselves. The biggest con in the room is usually yourself. It's your flesh. It's your own thought. It's your own mind. You can con yourself into doing something. You begin to soften the ramifications of what could happen. You soften what it is. And then what you do is you begin to turn into self-justification. Because you're better than everyone. Or because you feel like, oh, it's okay for you, but not for everyone else. And so we do that. So we should not rely on our own understanding. This is why we spend time in prayer. Amen? So we can hear from God. So I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And lean not on my own understanding. But in all my ways acknowledge him. Everything. I acknowledge him. And he will make my paths straight. What was we talking about in the beginning? That God had two paths for these people. His way for obedience and this way for disobedience. And you notice disobedience always has a lot of lights, a lot of sound, and a lot of flair. Don't get caught up in the circus. Don't get caught up into it. Listen and trust in the Lord. Verse 7 says, don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Amen. That's what we do when we trust the Lord. And he says this will be a healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. You notice that people in Egypt, they actually physically usually don't even look that good. Especially in the drug world and the alcoholic world. That's a big Egypt. Got a lot of people living in that Egypt. They had a decent weight and they got skinny. See all the bones. Physically a mess. They don't look like themselves. It's a slow death for some. But I want to remind you of this. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe this. I believe as long as you're breathing, his hand is still out. And if his hand is still out, he's waiting for someone to take a hold of it. And maybe it might be you today. Maybe it might be you that need to grab a hold of it today. You can't make a relationship doesn't work one-sided. If he's reaching out, someone needs to be reaching out for him and to him. My relationship with my wife, we're married, needs to be both of us individually into this relationship. My salvation in Christ, it's not just him, but it's also me doing my part. Accepting, following, letting God be God in my life. But sometimes we have a tendency to slide away and to draw away. And as the parable says, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. Basically said, what am I doing here? I need to go home. Anybody ever called you up and said, it's time to come home? Time to leave Egypt. Time to come home. Nothing's greater than that when you hear that in your heart. And Jesus tells you, it's time to come home. Don't go to Egypt. I believe the path is this way. It's not a one-way path. They're coming and going. People are heading to Egypt today. And some people are calling upon the Lord, oh, Lord, get me out of here. And God is pulling people out of Egypt. But once you breathe your last, the road stops. And you paved your way. You have paved your way. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Amen. I know today that some of us have some people, some family members that are in Egypt, breaking your heart. Sometimes you don't even know how you can get up in the morning and go to work. But I want to remind you of this. The fervent prayer, I'm telling you, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Get your life right with God. And your prayers become more powerful. You keep praying, and you keep praying, and you don't give up. Let it be, even if it's your last breath, let it be your last breath, and you keep praying it, because I'm telling you what, God will sometimes give that prayer to someone else, and they'll pray another 10 years. And then finally, that person, listen, we don't go to the grave with no hope. We go to the grave with hope. All those prayers we prayed about, listen to, if you didn't see it on this side of heaven, maybe you'll see it on the other side. You just got to trust God with it, that God will redeem those lost loved ones, those prodigal loved ones back home. We don't quit. And we don't stop. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator, heaven and earth. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you got God with you, you got everything. Amen? Father, as we begin to move into this moment of response, I pray, Father, your spirit will move as only your spirit can. In Jesus' name, amen.